A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus told his disciples, "Go and preach the good news to everyone in the world. Anyone who believes me and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe me will be condemned. Everyone who believes me will be able to do wonderful things. Using my name, they will force out demons and will speak in new languages. They will handle snakes and drink poison and not be hurt. They will also heal the sick people by placing their hands on them." After the Lord Jesus had said these things to the disciples, he was taken back up to heaven, where he sat down at the right hand of God. Then the disciples left and preached everywhere. The Lord was with them, and the miracles they worked proved that their message was true. The good news of our salvation. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, everyone, boy, those are some powerful readings. And one of the things that I would like to focus on, of the many things that we could focus on today, is preparing for Pentecost. And the solemnity of the Ascension takes us, understanding the Ascension, takes us right to Pentecost. And Pentecost is actually the culmination of the church year celebration. It is actually the beginning and the end of our crucifixion that we began to prepare for in Lent, and then the resurrection, then Jesus' appearances during those 40 days, and now he is lifted up into heaven. But there's one more thing to come that is the birthday of the church itself. And that is the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the Ascension and then talk a little bit more even about Pentecost and preparing for Pentecost. So the ascension of Jesus into heaven is one of the glorious mysteries of our faith, celebrated today and each time we reflect on the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. It is exciting and amazing to hear that the disciples went on to perform miracles and preach the good news. But really, that all did not happen until Pentecost itself. To tell you the truth, I've always felt a degree of sadness upon reflecting about the Ascension, especially thinking of what those first disciples of Jesus must have felt upon experiencing the Ascension of Jesus into heaven. Amazement, to be sure, but I wonder if it may have been indeed a sad and bittersweet experience for the disciples to witness Jesus leave again, as it was the last time they experienced Jesus with them in the flesh. Or it was. As Jesus ascended, that was the last time his disciples, any human beings, really saw Jesus alive, body and soul, in the flesh. And as he went up to heaven and disappeared into the clouds, I remember even as a child feeling a sense of sadness and loss that their precious time with Jesus on earth had now ended. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, and I know I've talked to you about John chapters 14 through 17 being a beautiful, beautiful conversation between Jesus and the Father. Jesus speaks to his disciples of his coming ascension into heaven. Jesus realized that experiencing him ascending into heaven would be difficult and sad for his disciples, perhaps even more difficult than his death. Think about it. After his death, the disciples had miraculously regained him with the resurrection. Now, a few short weeks later, after sharing such power and beauty of his presence on the road to Emmaus and several other times as they broke bread with him, here he was, leaving again, raising up to heaven in a cloud. Think about how difficult it would have been to see him leave. And wonder, would they ever see him again? And when would it be? Surely the angels said that he would come again in a cloud. But what bewilderment, what wonderment when one thought, when and how is that ever to be? In Jesus' words, as written in the Gospel of John, Jesus prepares the disciples not only for his death, but for his leaving a second time with his ascension into heaven. And he prepares them for Pentecost in a conversation he had with them right before his death. Right in the Gospel of John, ready for you to see and study and listen to and pray over this week as you prepare for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I think to better understand the meaning and the impact of Jesus' ascension into heaven, as well as to better understand and prepare for the wonderful, powerful, and sacred coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, it would be helpful for us to have what I might call a good old-fashioned Bible study of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, in which before he died, we experience Jesus preparing his disciples for his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, as well as for the coming gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So I'd like for Pat, since you don't have each of your own good old-fashioned Bibles in front of you, to join our Bible study on the chapter of John, I'd like Pat to pass out a one-sheet copy of excerpts from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in which Jesus does talk to us about his ascension and his coming at Pentecost through the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you guys were at a good old-fashioned Bible study? It's been a long time for me. But I think sometimes to just really mull over the words and scripture can help us get closer to God and to understand the heart of Jesus all the more. So, I think Pat's gotten everybody with those copies. Did Joe get one, Pat? All righty. So, these are some selections, and you can take home this sheet to use in your preparations before Pentecost. The first one, and I would be asking each of you to read, but you don't have mics, and I really want the people on Zoom to be able to hear you, and I don't want to take too long. But maybe Ralph will bring this to somebody who would read just that first little section from the Gospel of John. Is there anybody who would read that? Okay, Marianne, it's yours.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you may be too.
OK, Can you feel those words sinking into your heart? That the Lord Jesus actually went in order to prepare a place for us personally in his kingdom, the kingdom of his Abba Father, and that he plans to return to take each one of us there to the special place that he has prepared for us with the Father. Ralph, will you take it to somebody else or even read the second one yourself?
I'll read it. To have seen me is to have seen Abba God. I am in Abba God, and Abba God is in me. You must believe me when I say I am in Abba God, and Abba God is in me. I am going to Abba God.
The intimacy that Jesus felt with his Abba God. And you know, I did some study before this, and I found out that there were actually very few places in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, where God is referred to as like a father. And there is only one that refers to God as Father. Jesus was given a special name for God, just like Israel was given a name for God. Remember Israel's name that God gave? I am who I am, Yahweh. Jesus was given a new name for God. Not I am, but I am your Abba. The King, the Master of the universe, is the Abba, the beloved Daddy of Jesus. And that was the new name that Jesus received and which he called Abba God. And somebody else want to go on? Bev, can he bring the mic to you? And then maybe to Marie for the next one. Right. I'm sorry, Ralph. I know everybody's name. Okay, I shall.
I shall ask Abba God, and Abba God will give you another advocate to be with you forever, that Spirit of Truth. You know him because he is with you. He is in you.
Thank you.
I will not leave you orphans. I will come back to you. In a short time, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me because I live and you will live.
So the thing that's striking here is the role and importance and the personhood of the Holy Spirit. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, we would be talking about Jesus through our memory, through our brain, because we have no physical experience of him. We have no physical experience of Yahweh God. Other than what we have read in the scriptures, it is through the outpouring and the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is present in and with us today, and the Father Abba God is in us too. I've heard the description of the Holy Spirit be the love shared between Jesus and Abba God. That is the Holy Spirit. And so at Pentecost, we are filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So no longer are the disciples remembering Jesus only in their brain. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, Jesus is alive and present in their very beings. And I know that each of you have felt that same burning in your heart, that what you hear about Abba God and Jesus are alive in each one of you. And that is what we celebrate at Pentecost. And I'm going to continue. On that day, Pentecost, you will understand that I am an Abba God, and I in you, and you in me. It's actually, we think of the Trinity plus one. The Trinity, Abba, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and me. No more Trinity. It's a foursome. It's God in us. That's what the Trinity really is. If anyone loves me, they will keep my word, and Abba God will love him. And we shall come to them and make our home in them, with them. I have said these things while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom Abba God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Do you see now how the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Scripture? They couldn't have written all that themselves. Beginning 30, 40, 50, up to 100 years after experiencing Jesus, when many of them started to die and new people took up the Scriptures and the writing of them, that is the Holy Spirit inside of those writers, inspiring them and continuing to inspire and touch us and write the Word of God in our lives and with our lives, proclaiming God throughout the world. Not only through our words, but through our being Christ in the world today, through the love we offer, the sacrifices that we offer, the love that people see that we share among us. Peace I bequeath to you, my own peace I give you, a peace the world cannot give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and shall return. He's talking about the ascension, right? Before the ascension happened. I am going away, and I shall return. If you loved me, even though you're sad to see me go, you would have been glad to know that I am going to Abba God, for Abba God is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does, you may believe. So here we are, right before Pentecost, ready to prepare our hearts to receive the very presence of Jesus and Abba God with the Holy Spirit again, anew, and to celebrate that burning, very alive presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and us all united as a community. So right after Jesus, and this is to end, ascended into heaven, the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where we learn about Pentecost. So if you want to, that's also another good thing to read before Pentecost next week. The first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles tells us that the 11 apostles, together with several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, and several other women, left the place of the ascension, which was actually the Mount of Olives, and went to the upper room where they had been staying in Jerusalem, and they joined in continuous prayer. So they were sitting waiting for what Jesus had said would be his return. They were joined in continuous prayer and reflection. So let's join them this week, Spend time in prayer awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit anew as we celebrate Pentecost. Throughout the week, may each of us await and pray continuously that the Spirit of the living God would fall afresh on each one of us next Saturday and each day of the year. I will. Amen.